Steve. Thanks so much. It's Bill Leff on WGN. Joining me now is Dr. Timothy Armstrong. Dr. Armstrong is a program manager for the WHO's Commission on Ending Childhood Obesity. That's the World Health Organization, with some startling finds. Thank you very much for being here, Dr. Armstrong. Everything good with you?
Yeah, it's a pleasure. Thank you very much. Happy to be able to speak to you.
Good, thanks. I'm reading over these statistics, and I'm reading over the report, and it's as ugly can be. It says here, childhood obesity has reached alarming rates globally and is becoming, and I quote here, an exploding nightmare in the developing world. Why is this happening?
Well, thanks. That's a very interesting question, and I guess the simplistic answer is the same as obesity anywhere in the world, in developed or developing countries, is that children in particular are eating more food and than they're expending in being physical activity or exercise. The issue we're seeing in particularly developing countries is that the rate of increase in obesity is quite alarming and much greater than what we've seen in countries like the US or Australia, who we know have already quite alarming rates of childhood obesity. What we're seeing in developing countries is an even a more rapid increase, primarily due to some biological factors, that some populations are actually biologically predisposed to increasing obesity or increasing fat, but largely also that many developing countries don't yet have the policies, the public health policies in place to regulate markets, to ensure that food provisions at school are appropriate foods, that advertising of foods that we would, you know, some people would call junk foods are quite rampant, and these foods are being exposed to young children, and a sort of a desire to, as many of these populations in the developing world, many people get more income, are spending on these sorts of high energy products that are being heavily advertised, that of course are not particularly good for us.
So, is it better or worse? Is it the high income sector or the low income sector that seems to be affected more by this?
What we see in developed countries or high-income countries is that it's primarily now a problem that's most seen in people of low socioeconomic backgrounds. So folks that are not necessarily have had access to good education, good nutrition and exercise literacy, often spend their hard-earned money on products that may satisfy, able to feed the family, may satisfy the family or the children in a way that satisfies them mentally, if you like, because they're being fed something that's sweet, it tastes good, it's being advertised, it's got a feel-good factor. So that's the sort of what we're seeing in the developed world. In the developing world, it's those populations that are getting more well off, those people who are being in middle or upper incomes, that actually have the income to be able to purchase and buy those products, and are moving away from the more traditional lifestyle. So it's different in different countries depending on the geography and the economic climate.
It's strange, Dr. Armstrong, because I've always heard my whole life that America was the country where the poor people are overweight and the rich people are skinny, as opposed to the rest of the world where it's the opposite. But now somehow it's all balancing out. It's a problem everywhere.
Yeah, if balancing out is a good thing, I'm not sure, but that's right. It certainly is a global problem. Frankly, it is only in the poorest of poor countries, and primarily in sub-Saharan Africa, and some of the poorer countries in Asia that don't yet have this issue. But what for WHO is increasingly of concern is even in some what we would consider to be poor countries in Africa, in the urban settings, in the urban population at least, we're seeing rapid increases in obesity and amongst kids, again because of the rapid change in lifestyle as increasing development in those countries takes place. So, you know, economic development is a good thing on the one hand, but often it can bring these unintended consequences along with it.
It says here, I'm going to read just a couple of country statistics. In Africa, the number of overweight or obese children under the age of 5 has doubled from 1990 to 2014. There was 5.4 million. Now there's 10.3 million. And then the rate of increase in Asia is difficult to quantify, they say. Asia is currently accounting for 48% of young children who are categorized as overweight or obese. Why Asia? What's going on there?
Well, it's interesting in Asia because we have now I'm speaking sort of generally here, but we really have countries with a frankly unregulated market in terms of the sorts of foods that are being produced or being produced elsewhere and being imported into those countries, being very heavily advertised to parents, particularly to mothers, of course. We have an issue, particularly in Asia, where the infant formulas still contain considerable amounts of sugar, for example, and these are very heavily promoted to Asian mothers, and there is a lack of health literacy and a lack of nutritional literacy often amongst these people, so that they're seeing a product that they think is good for the child. There is some cultures that breastfeeding, which WHO recommends for 6 months minimum and up to 2 years, is not necessarily in all those cultures an acceptable practice. So there's many factors which come together to create a perfect storm, if you like, in many different countries and areas of the world for this this issue of increasing kids' obesity.
I'm talking to Dr. Timothy Armstrong, Program Manager for the World Health Organization's Commission on Ending Childhood Obesity. I remember a report, Dr. Armstrong, about a year and a half ago, roughly, where they said that this generation is the first one in a long, long time where the life expectancy is less than the one before it. That, just knowing that, is alarming, but this ties into this report, doesn't it?
Oh, very much so, yes. I mean, the report you're referring to was actually some work done by the sporting goods industries and primarily looking at the role of physical activity and the way that physical activity can impact on obesity and other non-communicable diseases. And yes, certainly, whilst overall health is improving on many fronts, and our fronts, and our life expectancy is increasing in general, we now have a problem globally where, and this is a global issue, and when I say global, the primary problems are in low and middle income countries where it's non-communicable disease, and that is cardiovascular disease, i.e. heart attacks and stroke, cancer, lung disease, and diabetes. These four conditions are the major killers globally, and many people still think that these are conditions of the rich countries. You know, again, it's the same as the obesity discussion we were just having. That in fact, 80% of the global deaths, which is over 60% due to NCDs, 80% of those deaths are occurring in low and middle income countries, and this is the main problem that WHO is now facing. There's been a real shift from what we sort of class as the traditional diseases, HIV, AIDS, TB, malaria, etc. We are globally getting control over those conditions and those diseases, but the non-communicable disease, the more lifestyle-relevant diseases that are running rampant.
Dr. Armstrong, there are callers that want to chime in, ask some questions of you. Demetria wants to ask you a question. It's something we touched on just a little bit, but she has a more in-depth question or comment. Go ahead, Demetria. You're on with Dr. Timothy Armstrong from the World Health Organization.
Oh, thank you. Yes, I noted with the call screener that a lot of baby formula is given away all over the world. But these formulas are full of sugars that do not occur in human breast milk. It predisposes the child to have a sweet tooth. And, I mean, there are other nutritional differences in the formula that are not great for babies, but this formula is given away around the world, even in this country. If you're in a hospital and have a baby, they give you a case of formula to take home. I'm interested in the doctor's take on that. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. What do you think, Dr. Armstrong?
Well, thank you. I mean, WHO's position on breastfeeding and infant formula is quite clear. We recommend breastfeeding is where possible exclusively breastfeeding for 6 months and up to 2 years where that's possible. Certainly, we are not We're not in the habit of promoting breast milk substitutes, and we certainly don't agree with breast milk substitutes that contain sugars. I agree with your caller's comment that it's not simply just the sugars, et cetera, that are in the breast milks. The more research we do and find out about the qualities that breast milk has, the impact on the immune function of the child, the impact on that we're now seeing some relationship to their mental development, their brain development, et cetera, things that we've not yet been able to identify and can't synthesize and put in formulas. We don't. There is something called the Code of Breast Milk Substitutes, which is a WHO code that the member states agreed to many years ago, which has a strict criteria on the advertising and marketing of breast milk substitutes. And in fact, we don't agree with, as WHO, don't agree with this handing out of breast milk substitutes. And we do know that often this is facilitated by the companies producing the product itself.
Demetria, thank you for the call. Really appreciate it. So, Dr. Armstrong, if that's the case, and there's so much evidence that this is a bad thing, somebody must be gaining from this. Who's gaining by boosting the substitute breast milk with sugar? Who's getting something out of it?
Well, I mean, obviously, the companies that are producing the formulas are making a profit. That's their job to make profit. I do think that it's not all bad news, though. We have been able to work, we as WHO, through our influence and our power, and also work with the governments of our member states to change some of the practices in terms of what is being developed by companies and what is being being promoted and how it's being promoted. So the tide, I think, is turning slowly there. Certainly there's been a change of behavior of the major multinational food companies that produce breast milks. Where we often see a problem, and this is not just in relationship to breast milk substitutes, but also in other foods and beverages that are being developed and marketed to kids, is that in markets that are there is less regulation and markets where it's the local companies perhaps or the national level companies that don't necessarily have feel the same weight or concerns of an international agency such as WHO or have a government that necessarily has the capacity or the wish to act. So in many developing countries we have this problem, and countries like India, for example, we need to work harder to ensure that there are standards that companies will adhere to in terms of the manufacture of their food products.
Dr. Armstrong, do you have just a minute or two? We have to take a quick break for commercials, but I have a couple more questions on it. Are you okay on time?
Yeah, sure. With pleasure.
All right. Stay where you are. That's Dr. Timothy Armstrong from the World Health Organization talking about child obesity, which they say is an exploding nightmare in a report that just came out. We'll continue this. If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200. It's Bill Leff on WGN. It's Bill Leff. Very disturbing report put out by the World Health Organization, the Commission on Ending Childhood Obesity. Dr. Timothy Armstrong is with us. He's the program manager over at the World Health Organization. It says there in the report that the important message is it's not the kid's fault, Dr. Armstrong, and that's true, isn't it?
Yes, clearly. I mean, it seems obvious to many, but we've, through our consultations around the globe on the issue, there is still a view held by many that these issues around what you eat and how much exercise or physical activity you do is a personal choice issue. There's an argument that could be made that holds true for adults, although there is some debate whether that's really true in the environment we live in today. But certainly for children, certainly for babies, you know, infants and young children, and we argue even adolescents, it's not their fault. It's not the fault of the baby if it's being fed a sugary breast milk substitute, for example. It's not the fault of the young child if he or she is being exposed to rampant advertising for sugar sweetened carbonated beverages. It's not the fault of a child if they live in an environment where it's not possible to do sport and physical activity, or the school curriculum has taken that out of their life. So really removing the blame or the guilt from the individual, particularly the child, was one of the key messages that the commission wanted to get across.
Can Can I ask you quickly, because I don't get to talk to too many people from the World Health Organization, and you're involved. What about growth hormones? You know, not just my wife and I, but friends of ours have noticed, and we're not the only ones who notice this, that girls are developing a lot faster, and all the indicators point at growth hormones. Why are they still allowed to be used in foods?
Yes. Look, I mean, I can't speak to that question, but I can give you my personal observation, and WHO doesn't have a position on that. But we are recognizing, and it's becoming an issue, particularly for other aspects of health, not necessarily around the non-communicable disease agenda or the obesity agenda, but around issues around sexual health, for example, that particularly young women, but also young men, are reaching puberty far, far earlier than they have many years ago. We do know that just overall better nutrition is a contributor to that. But as you say, the evidence is increasingly now that hormones that are being used in for example, some of the meats and the chickens that we are eating now, some of the chemicals that are being used in some of our agricultural processes are now being linked to this. So it's not yet an issue on the WHO's agenda, but it's certainly something we are observing, and it's one we'll have to watch, that's for sure.
I want to ask you one more quick question about the childhood obesity. I've noticed this. I live in an area that there's young kids everywhere. There's 7, 8, 9, 10-year-old kids everywhere. And on an average Saturday when I was a kid, those kids would all be out playing and exercising, but now they're all playing computer games inside. That's got to play into this a little bit, doesn't it?
Yeah, it certainly does. I mean, I don't think the evidence suggests that it's computer games or TV per se. A wise ex-professor of mine once said, today's age, kids are on computers. In the era of their parents, we watched TV. In their parents, we sat by the radio. In their parents, they read a book. And the parents before, they were doing something else. But certainly we know that there is less physical activity going on, and I think the data and our sense is that it's more around the environment in its entirety, that there is a perception, or in many cases a reality, that the outside world is more dangerous for children. Parents are less willing perhaps to let their kids being out. Like you, I grew up in the country I know best, Australia, in the 70s, and after school every day I was on my bike down at the local river hanging out with my kids until dinner time.
Sure.
With my mates. That doesn't happen anymore. So we do know that physical activity is or lack of physical activity is an issue. We worried as an organization that much of sport and physical activity and physical education is being removed from the school system, and so we don't want to blame any one industry or any one screen, but it's overall part of the symptom and part of the problem that we are facing. Yeah.
That's Dr. Timothy Armstrong, Program Manager for the WHO's Commission on the Ending of Childhood Obesity, the World Health Organization. If they want to know more about this, Dr. Armstrong, the website to visit is who.int, correct?
That's correct. Right. And we'd be happy to help anyone who has an interest in this area.
Fantastic. I appreciate you spending time with us today, Dr. Armstrong. Thanks so much.
My pleasure. You have a good day.
All right. Take care of yourself. A quick break. Steve with the news and then more show ahead. It's Bill Left with you on WGN.